I'm Kathy Davidson, and I'd like to welcome you to our women's meeting. The group of women here, we together are seeking the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Let's open with prayer. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. My Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And I ask this, Father, Father, let us only see Jesus. Let us only see Jesus. He gets all the glory. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you will turn with me to John 10. This meeting is based and began on 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, but we're not going to go there. We've spoken that enough, but I do want to add this one. John 10, verse 35, a verse now that all the that have attended these meetings listen to, a verse that we're all familiar with. 35, I'll begin in 34. Jesus answered them. So this is Jesus speaking. It says, is it not written in your law? I love that. He said, your law. He doesn't call it his law. Jesus didn't call it his law. He said, your law. He said, I said, you are gods. And if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, he said, and the scripture cannot be broken. Jesus himself said that. And we know from John 1:1, Jesus is the word and it cannot be broken. You can't break Jesus. Thank God. Now, with that, turn a couple pages over to John 12:47. I want to lay a little groundwork before what we talk about today. John 12:47, there's a phrase in here I want to get to. This is Jesus again speaking. I'm going to begin in verse 44. Jesus cried and answered. Jesus cried this. He said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. So when you believe on Jesus, you are automatically believing on the Father. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. You know, it is wonderful. God told Moses that no man can look at me and live. No man can see the face of God and live. That's what God said. But yet Jesus looks exactly like him. Exactly. He said, any man that sees me sees the one that sent me. He sees what God looks like. I am looking forward to the day that I see the face of Jesus. And I know when I see that face, that is exactly what God looks like. Isn't that neat? All right, verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. And then this next word, this next phrase. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Do you see that? Jesus says, anybody that doesn't believe on me, I judge him not. Do you know Jesus isn't judging you? Jesus didn't come to judge you. Look at the next line. For I came not to judge the world. He didn't come to judge the world. He didn't come to send you to hell. What did he come for? But to save the world. To save the world. Jesus himself said, I'm not going to judge you. In fact, he goes on in the next verse and says, the word I speak, that'll judge you. Jesus isn't the one that's going to judge you. Jesus isn't. Why? He didn't come to judge you. Jesus did not come to judge you. He didn't come to tell you every single thing you've ever done wrong. He already knows it. And so does the Father. You know what? The amazing thing is the Father and Jesus, they not only know what you've done wrong, they know your intentions for doing it. They know why you did it. And yet, he came to save you anyway. He came to save you anyway. Isn't that beautiful? He came to save you. He didn't come to judge you. Now with that, I want us to go to Job 14. And I'm going to read verse 1. I bet you some of you didn't even know this verse was in the Bible. I was surprised when I saw it. Verse 14 of Job, chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. The word of God cannot be broken. You wonder why you got so much trouble? It says it right here. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So, by this verse, and by the word of God that cannot be broken, you're going to have trouble one way or the other. Whether you believe God or not, you're going to have trouble. It says it right here. You're going to have few days. In other words, you're not going to live to be 1,000 years old. And you're going to have trouble. So now we know that trouble you got, that trouble you've seen, everybody gets it. It's promised. Now go with me to Psalm 34. There's a difference. Here is the difference. Here is where things divide. Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. All their troubles. Not some of their troubles. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. Isn't that beautiful? If you are righteous, God hears your cry. It says it right here. It says it. If you're righteous and you cry, God hears it. And not only hears it, delivers them out of all their troubles. All of them. You got the guts and the courage to believe that? Do you have the guts and the courage to believe that? We're going to find out. Then I want us to go to verse 19 right there. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Who put that in the Bible? Who put that in the Bible? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. You know, when I was brought up in a denominational church, I spent about 10, 12 something years there. Do you know that they would look, if you were in a bunch of trouble, they would look at you like you were unholy. That maybe you weren't one of them. And right here it says, if you're righteous, you're going to have many troubles. You know what that makes me? Righteous. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said, if you don't have persecution, if you don't have trouble, if you don't have affliction, you're not worth powder and shot. And that means a bullet. You're not worth it. You're not worth it. So now we know from verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Them all. Them all. If you got the guts to believe that. If you got the guts to hang on to that. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4. I'm going to go to verse 12. Verse 12 in 1 Peter 4. Beloved, I love this verse. Peter kind of slides it in here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. I remember standing up here saying, strange thing? How about insane thing? How about insane thing? I don't think it's strange. I think it's insane. But it promises. Peter right here says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Oh, you're going to think that way. You're going to think that way when it comes. I remember thinking, it says, no temptation taken you such as common to man. And I told God, common? This is common? I want addresses and phone numbers. Because I don't see it coming. The word of God cannot be broken. But rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Inasmuch as you are a partaker of Christ's sufferings. Do you see that? When the trouble hits, rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. You mean Christ suffered? Oh, yeah. that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. There is an end to this, and there is a reward to this. There is a reward for this. Thank God. If you will get this in your heart, your life on earth is just a temporary walk. What are you working for? Have you ever considered what you're working for? Oh, we diligently search God so that we have prosperity and we have health and we have a roof over our head and our kids are all born again. We work for that, but you know you're also working for your eternity? You're working for eternity. So when this is all over, you got eternity to look at. It's nice to have some things stacked up over there ready for you, isn't it? Some rewards. You're not only rewarded here on earth, but you're looking for your reward in heaven. I didn't have that mindset. One day I was just frustrated in all this, and God ministered to me. This is just temporary. This is temporary. 70, 80, 90, 100, if you're lucky, or if you're blessed, 100, but you're looking at eternity. We want to be at the right place for eternity. Now, how do we do this? Now you're in trouble. Now you're in trouble. What am I going to do? How are you going to handle this? It says that the righteous will be delivered out of all their troubles, but I'm going to show you how to get out. I want you to go to Romans 5. Romans 5. We talked about this a little bit today. I talked about this week, but I want this on radio. There is a way out of every situation you are in. And I can stand here and swear to that. There is a way out of every situation you are in. Every situation. You say to yourself, this is hopeless. Thank God it's hopeless, because then there's only one way out, and that's through God. That is through God. There is a way out of every situation. And God will move on your behalf. It said in Psalm 34, the righteous cry, and God delivers the righteous out of all their afflictions. There's your first step right there. Are you righteous? Are you righteous? Are you righteous? There's your first step to make sure you get out of this. Are you righteous? Well, let's take a look at Romans 5, 1. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. Justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith. Not by how you act. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to the way you've acted. It has nothing to do with how much sin you've been in and how perfect you have been since you decided not to sin anymore. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with following the Ten Commandments. It has nothing to do with following the Ten Commandments. If you can read the New Testament, your following the Ten Commandments doesn't get you anything. It doesn't get you anything. The Word of God in the New Testament says that the law will not justify you. It won't take your sins away. It won't make you righteous. It won't. It says that in the New Testament. The law is not made for a righteous man. It's made for the sinner. Well, we want to be righteous. Well, then how do we get righteous? It's not obeying the Ten Commandments. It's by faith. By faith. By faith. Something that you don't ask, that you didn't ask for, and something you don't deserve. It's by faith. And it's by faith in what? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the honor, the glory of God. That, and if you read a little bit further, the reason you're justified is the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. Do you know you were justified 2,000 years ago? You were justified 2,000 years ago. So how you going to act make it any different? You were justified 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. And when were you justified? When Jesus shed his blood. When Jesus was on the cross, your sin and my sin was placed on that body. Everything you've ever done, and thank God everything ever you will do, was put on the body of Jesus, and he knew it. And he took it. He bore it in his own soul. He didn't just carry it in a suitcase, as God said to me once. He said, Jesus didn't carry your sins in a suitcase. He had them in his soul. He became my sin. He became an adulterer. He became a murderer. He became a murderer, a child molester, a wife beater. He became a genocide. He took on genocide. He took it all on, folks. He took on everything you've ever done. God put it, took it from you, and put it on that body and in that soul. And why would he do that? So that that blood that Jesus shed for you on the cross would take it away. Would take it away. That blood took it away. It says in Isaiah 53 verse 11, I think, he saw the travail of Jesus' soul with my sin on it in hell, with your sin on him in hell, paying for what I did, paying for what you did, not what he did. He didn't do anything. He was in hell paying for what we did. And the Father saw it. And there came a point where the Father said, that is enough. That is enough. Enough of what? Enough for paying you and for you and I. Do you see where our payment was made? It was made with Jesus in hell. Our payment was made with Jesus in hell. And the Father saw that and was satisfied, satisfied, satisfied with you. And you weren't even around yet. But he was satisfied with you. And he raised Jesus from the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead because Jesus was finished paying for you. If Jesus hadn't been finished for paying for you, he'd still be there. But he's not. He satisfied the Father. And the Father raised him from the dead. And you know, then Jesus took that blood. When he was raised from the dead, he took the blood that he shed on the cross, and he went to heaven with it. And he walked in to the holiest of holies in heaven. There's a tabernacle in heaven that the Father pitched. Man did not. That's what Moses had to do. The Father said, make sure you make this tent just like the one I got up here. Everything about that? He said, make it just like the one I got. And so Moses did, but we got a better one. We got the one up there. And Jesus walked into that holiest of holies with his blood that paid for your sin. And he sprinkled the altar. And you know, it says in that word, God met him in that holiest of holies. Met him. Waited for him. Waited for him to come in and pay for you. Waited for him to walk in and pay for you. And the Father met him. And your sins and my sins were totally paid for. And we were justified. We were justified then. But when do we see it work in us? When we believe it. When we believe it. You were justified 2,000 years ago. Jesus already paid for you. You were made righteous and given the gift of righteousness. On in this chapter, you were given the gift of righteousness 2,000 years ago. When do you see it manifest? When you believe it. When you believe it. It's done. It's all done. It's your choice whether to believe it or not. But it's done. And if you don't believe it, you are putting it away. You are rejecting it. So you're either going to accept what God did for you and Jesus did for you, or you're going to reject it. That's your choice. That's why Jesus said, I'm not going to judge you. What's going to judge you? The word that I speak. Because it's going to be your choice. You can either accept what Jesus did for you and see the manifestation, or you're going to reject it and miss out on what God did for you already. Already. So now by that blood, we are made righteous. We are justified. We are, just because of what Jesus did for us, we are that righteous that cry in Psalm 34. Because of what Jesus did for us. We are that person, that righteous person that's crying out because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did. And it says it right here in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, trusting in, hanging on to that Jesus justified us with that shed blood. We have peace with God. We have peace. God's not mad at you if you believe what Jesus did. He's not. Jesus took the wrath. Jesus took God's anger. He took it in hell. God can't be angry with you if you believe. He can't be. He took it out on Jesus. He took it out on Jesus. And he's going to give you every opportunity to believe that. But if you reject it, there will be a day. There will be a day. Folks, hell is real. Hell is real. You don't want to go there, and you don't have to. All you have to do is believe. Now, what do we do when we're in trouble? We find ourselves in trouble. We'll go on. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. There is your answer. We glory in tribulations also. You know what that glory word means? It means to boast. It means to boast. We boast in tribulation also. You got to be kidding me. All hell hits, and you want me to boast? What, boast how bad it is? No. We boast in tribulations also. Tribulation, that word means trouble. It means burdened. It means anguish. It means tribulation. It means persecution. We boast. Boast what? What I just said. Boast what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. That's what we boast in. Do you have the courage? Do you have the courage? You know, God didn't tell Joshua, you have great faith. He didn't say that. He said, courage. He said, have courage, Joshua, have courage. Have some guts. Have some guts. When trouble hits, have some guts and stand up and boast. What do you boast in? That 2,000 years ago, Jesus already took this on the cross. Took it all. He took my sickness on the cross. He took my poverty on the cross. He took whatever it would take to get my peace, my welfare, my safety, my security was all paid for on the cross. That's what you boast in. And who do you boast to? You boast to God and you boast to the devil, and it doesn't hurt to boast to yourself either. Oh, if you could hear me some days. You hear me? This was paid for 2,000 years ago. And it gets worse. Do you hear me? This was paid for 2,000 years ago, and Jesus was raised from the dead, and I am raised with him. Do you hear me? Yes, you have to open your mouth and boast. Have you ever been to a football game and they say, yay? Defense, defense, defense. No. But yet we won't open our mouths. It says, boast in tribulation. Boast. And then it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's continuance. Why is this problem not going away? Because you're learning how to stay with it. Because you're learning how to boast all the time. Not 5 minutes and then quit. not 15 minutes and quit, not post today and cry tomorrow. No, you stick with that boasting until you get in your hands what you're boasting about. You don't stop boasting until you get in your hands what Jesus paid for. And you boast to God, you boast to yourself, you boast to the devil and anybody else that'll stand still long enough to hear. Oh, my dog used to look at me. Do you hear me? And I told you, I have a sanctified dresser somewhere in the world. I preached to that dresser every chance I got. Now, it says, work tribulation worketh patience. That's continuance, sticking with it, not quitting till you get it. Oh, that sounds so cool until you try it. But you're going to have to do it even when you don't feel like it. Even when you feel like crying, you got to stop the crying and you got to boast. Even when you feel an anguish, you don't yield to the anguish, you boast. And what God is going to do for you because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I have a testimony about this. And I don't think I ever did it on radio. I had a situation where I found, after being married for almost 30 years, that there were bills that I never even knew of. I found out that even in my name, I owed the IRS and I owed other people close to $100,000, and I knew nothing about it. I call that trouble. I call that trouble. And I had to get out of that trouble. And one of the ways that was going to help was I was going to have to sell the home that we both owned. Now, we because of other reasons, we divorced. But now, because I had in my name all that debt, I call that trouble. And you know what I had to do? In the middle of the trouble, in the middle of having a divorce, in the middle of all the other things that happened, I had to boast. I had to boast. I had to sit with my mouth. I thank God Jesus bore this on the cross. He knows, and there is nothing he can get me out that he can't get me out of. Nothing. You'd be amazed. How would you like to find out that you owe $100,000 and you have nothing to pay for it? They have nothing. I was let go of my job. And other things that happened in all of this, I was one woman in severe trouble, and I boasted about what Jesus did for me. I went to go sell that house. I didn't even know about all of this yet. I didn't know how big the bill was. I knew I had one, but I didn't even find that out till we got to where we were selling the house, and we put a contract on it. And then I found out all this other stuff. But I wanted to get the house sold. I just wanted to get it sold. And I didn't even care if I got a profit out of it. I just wanted the house sold. I thought, anything I've got left, thank God, and, you know, whatever. But I just needed that house sold. Do you know that God, in his love and mercy and gospel, the gospel that he sent Jesus to save me because he loved me, in that love, he sent me a buyer. I tried to sell it to another woman for basically my side of it at cost. I wanted her to have the house. She was in kind of the same predicament I was. So I thought, you know, help the woman out. I said, I'll take no profit. She couldn't do it. So now I've got this house. This man comes in to buy it, and they look at the house. They like the house. They're getting ready to buy it. And I'm telling him, look, you know, I'll take some off the house or whatever. And I want you to hear this. I told the man face to face, we're standing in my living room. I said, I'm going to take a cut on my profit so that you can have this house. And you know what he told me? He said, no. 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 He said, I'm going to pay full price for this house. Do you hear me? Can you believe God would do that? I'm going to pay full price for this house. And then after I get the house, I'm going to get a loan out and I'm going to fix it. Do you hear me? Yes, sir. Do you know what? I went to go and that's when we put a contract on the house. And then I found out how much money I owed. How much money I owed, and that house was not going to cover anywhere near. But do you know, Do you know, miracle after miracle, I talked to the IRS. We were going back and forth. I did everything that God wanted me to do. I talked to everybody that I needed to do. I talked to them all. I worked with this one. I worked with this one. God stepped in and did miracle after miracle. And when we sold that house, 2 weeks later, I walked out not owing anybody a penny. God miraculously did miracle after miracle, impossible things, and got me out of debt completely. Why? Jesus has all the money in all the world. Your debt doesn't scare him. He found a way. He's Jesus. You know who made money? Jesus. He had a way, and it worked out totally to my surprise. Totally to my surprise. And the IRS guy was surprised. And everybody else was surprised. I remember going home to Dole and saying, this is what happened. And he said, you got to be kidding me. Do you know Dole didn't give me one penny? He did not give me one penny to get out of my problem. Not one. Oh, he gave me shelter and food, and groceries. But it was God that got me out. Why? There is no situation that you are in that God cannot get you out. And he got you out 2,000 years ago. But you have to boast. You have to boast when you don't want to boast. You have to trust in it, believe in it. And that's what boasting helps. It helps you to believe it. You have to hang on to it when you don't want to hang on to it. When you want to cry. When you want to call somebody. Don't. Boast. Boast to God. Boast to the devil. Boast to your dog. It said, tribulation worketh patience and patience experience. There comes the first problem he solved. Guess what? There's going to be another one. It'll probably be a little bigger. That's okay. We boast. And we get through that one. And that's more experience. And the problem gets a little bigger. I have talked to more than one person. Do you know if God would have stepped in and done a total miracle at the beginning of their trouble, they'd have never grown. They'd have never grown. They'd have never learned patience. They'd have never learned that continuance. And they know it now. They wished it, the first, pray for my child that they totally be healed. And then what happens? You don't grow. But I have seen God work, bring that patience, and it comes. The miracle comes. And you know what the neat thing is? Then it's your miracle. Then it's your miracle. Then it's God working for you. Then it's yours. It says, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God. Because. Why does he get you out of trouble? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Do you see why you get in trouble? Because of the love of God. The love of God. It causes you to grow. It causes you to boast. It causes you to believe. It causes you to grow. So when we get in trouble, we rejoice. Woo! Here comes another one. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Sometimes it takes me 5 minutes, but I'm almost there. We rejoice. Why? Because you know you're going to get the victory every time. Psalm 34, the word of God cannot be broken. The righteous will be delivered out of all their troubles. Are you righteous? Now, you can't even start with this, and then you're in big trouble if you're not born again. If you're not born again, how do you get born again? That born again means getting the spirit of Jesus, the one that died for us, the one that died for you and was buried for you and raised again for you inside you, where he can lead you and guide you and fix you. And how do you do that? Romans tells us, Romans 10, it says to say with your mouth, those that call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So repeat after me, Jesus, come into my heart. Become Lord of my life. Lead me. Guide me. Fix me. And I ask this in your name. Amen. And he will. Amen. 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 Anybody need prayer? Come on over here, girl. This girl is bringing her face. She said, I need somebody to join with me and get rid of some fear. We're going to do it right now. Right now. I give thanks, Jesus, right now. Right now. I give thanks, Father. I thank you. You have not given her the spirit of fear. You didn't give it to her. Come out of there, you fear. You didn't give it to her, Father. You don't give fear. Come out of there, fear. Come out. All of it. All of it. All of this fear. Come out. All this fear. Come out. Come out. He didn't give you the spirit of fear. He gave you love. He gave you power. He gave you love. He gave you power. He gave you love. He gave you power. He gave you a right mind. Come out of there, all this fear. All this fear. This fear. This insanity. Come out of there. Come out of there. Come out of there. You insane spirit, come out of there. Come out. 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 Oh, yeah, I got you. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. All this fear. All this torment. All this insanity. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Yes, you will. Come out. 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 There you go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. You all right? That one tore a little bit, didn't it?
It's been tearing me for days.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Anyone else? I get thanks. You know, I was delivered from insanity here. And you know, Doyle didn't even lay hands on me. He didn't know what was going on, but I cried out to the Father. I knew my family had insanity in it, and I knew that I was headed in that direction. And I told God one Saturday or Friday afternoon, I said, I told God, I said, how long are you going to leave the righteous forsaken? How long are you going to leave the righteous forsaken? You know what? I got his ear because I'm righteous. And he showed up here on a Sunday morning. And Dole was over there somewhere. We were just praying and worshiping God. And I was about right here. And the Spirit of God came on me strong. And the Spirit of God said to me, Jesus said to me, I'm here. I'm here. He said, I'm here. I'm here to deliver you of the insanity and the terror that has been in your family. Right there, the power of God started shaking me. It was hard to stand, but I tell you what, it shook and it shook. And finally, Doyle came over to see what was going on over here. And I told him what was going on, and he just stood beside me. And we watched. He watched God deliver me from generations of insanity. And you know what? Call me crazy, but I'm not. Haven't been since that day. That's why. That we don't have any trouble casting that out of somebody else. There is hope in every situation. Hope in every situation. You're almost dying, Jesus brings life. You're almost crazy, so what? Jesus brings life. He will deliver you out of every situation. He promised, the word of God cannot be broken. The righteous will be delivered out of all their troubles. Amen. See you next week.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com and on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.